Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharne Niravishesha Shunyavadi Pastya Chade Shatarne Sri Krishna Chaitanya Pramanichananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivas Adi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vanchakavacharubhyascha kripa sindhubhyevacha, padhitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So yes, devotees, this is, let me just check, what is it? It should be our sixth evening of Brihad Bhagavatamrita. And we've reached this point now that the story itself has begun. We went through a whole lot of background, who spoke it and to whom, and all of that, under what circumstances. Very interesting story. And the point is that in Srimad Bhagavatam, this is the thing, that the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam is devotion to the Lord. And in the narrations of Brihad Bhagavatamrita, that has, it's divided into two parts. Who has got the most mercy? And who is the greatest and where is the greatest place? These are two divisions. Who has got the most mercy? And then a combination of who are the greatest devotees and what is their place? What is the nature of their place? So the first part here, the first seven chapters, it's Narada Muni trying to find who has got the greatest mercy of the Lord. And he, right now, he is just about to express his feelings to the first of these people, that Brahman Vaishnav from Prayag, who Narada met at Dash Ashvamedha Ghat in Prayag. So Narada Muni has been watching this devotee in amazement. What a devotee he is. He's very affluent. He's got a whole retinue of followers, servants, family members, it would appear disciples also. He's just done a puja on the banks of the river at Dash Ashvamedha Ghat, and he offered bhoga to his Shalagram Shila there, and then he distributed the prasad to everyone, and then everyone told him, now you must take some. He took some, and he's just got so many wonderful qualities that Narada Muni, watching all this and watching him, Narada Muni is just becoming more and more impressed and moved by the devotion of this devotee. So right now, we're going into this, the next little section here, in which it's the second section, a second subsection in the fourth section of the first chapter of Brihadbhagavatamrita, we have titled the whole section, "Is the Brahmin devotee," this Brahmin devotee there at Prayag, "is this Brahmin devotee the topmost recipient of the Lord's mercy?" And this the discussion goes from verse 26 to about verse 58. And we're now going to go into the second subsection. Narada Muni speaks to the Brahmin Vaishnav. And this is going to take us from verse 39 to 58. 39, am I? Yes, I'm right. 39. So first of all, we'll read through the verses, actually, because we'll just go through it step by step, because there's very few purports. It looked like there was, the first two verses together have a more substantial purport. Well, not that much. But anyway, we'll just go straight through reading the verses and making comments. So, this is now verses 39 and 40. And this is Narada Muni in ecstasy, feeling that this devotee is just amazing. I cannot believe this devotee, such a wonderful, highly qualified devotee. Narada Muni cannot stop himself, so he comes forward. And what does he say? Just a moment. Again and again, Narada announced, he just shouted out, "This is the Supreme Lord Vishnu's most dear devotee." Then he ran up to the Brahman and declared him the recipient of Lord Krishna's highest mercy. Narada proclaimed this openly to all, beside himself with eagerness for devotional service to Lord Krishna. There's a lot of taste here. There's just so much devotional taste and feeling and attraction. So Narada had been there the whole time in the group of sages who had first gathered there. That group of sages had gathered there by the Ganges at Prayag, Dash Ashvamedha Ghat. And if you remember, they had been appreciating each other that you have received the most mercy of the Lord. And the other one would say, "No, I haven't, it's you, or it's him." And then along came this Brahmin Vaishnav and his entourage. And the Brahmin Vaishnav himself was just such a devotee. So Narada Muni was within that group of sages. But until now, you know, of course, Narada Muni is such a famous devotee. For him to be present somewhere, it's just like a massive blessing. But he was just in there amongst all those sages. Kind of, the purport says he had been enjoying the festival of that Brahmin devotee. He'd been enjoying it incognito. unknown. But now, he's just become so incredibly ecstatic, he just can't be held back, because he's on a higher level than the other sages. They're all great, they're all wonderful. But this is Narada Muni. He's one of the Mahajans. He's on a higher level, and which includes a higher level of ecstasy. And now seeing what a wonderful devotee this Brahmin Vaishnava is, his ecstasy is just overflowing. He can't control himself. So, because of these intense feelings of love, he just was impelled to announce his realizations. Jai Giriraj. So, one word is pointed out here. The word Janam. Janam. Where? Oh, there it is. Janam. Kripaya Bhajanam Janam. Which means this. Okay. Kripaya, mercy. Bhajanam. Bhajanam, recipient. Janam, this person. This person is the great recipient of the mercy of the Lord. And in the purport, our devotees have made a nice point that this word Janam, it can mean like a group of people or a particular person, but ultimately, in this context particularly, Kripaya Bhajanam, who is the recipient of the greatest kripa or mercy, that Janam, that person, who is that? Who is that person who has received the greatest mercy? In fact, it's Srimati Radharani. It's Srimati Radharani, yes. So what can you say? But anyway, Narada, he's praising this Brahman. He's going to be praising so many, as we'll see as we go on over the next weeks. But they're not on the level of Radharani. And at the end, we will meet the gopis, yes, who are the greatest recipients, in fact, of the mercy of the Lord. So they say in the purport here that this Brahman and the other devotees that Narada is going to praise, as you know, as he travels along, they're also aware of their own lesser devotional standing. So Narada here speaks mainly to enlighten the public, but also to gain the impetus for his expedition to the far ends of the universe in search of Sri Krishna's best devotees. Best devotees, or those who have received the greatest mercy, which is basically the same thing. All right, so now verse 41. Sri Narada said, O leader of the Brahmins, it is you who have received Lord Krishna's greatest favor. After all, you have such wealth, property, generosity, and personal opulence. Now here's a point. There's no purport here, actually. But I must make a point to all of you devotees that when Narada Muni, one by one by one, meets all these different devotees, who are on progressively higher levels one after the other, when Narada Muni meets these devotees, in every case, we'll see, in every case, when he meets them, he points out why he feels this devotee is the recipient of the Lord's greatest mercy. Yeah. So here, now he's doing it in regard to this Brahman Vaishna. I feel you have received Lord Krishna's greatest favor, greatest mercy. Why? Because you have such wealth, property, generosity, and personal opulence. That's why. But then the next verse takes it further. Verse 42. O wise one, in this best of holy places, we have now seen for ourselves that you are using all these assets exclusively to establish pure religion. So you have all these things, great wealth, property, you're so extremely generous, and you're so personally opulent. These are signs of the mercy of the Lord, but particularly the main sign is that not only do you have these things, but you use them exclusively. To establish pure religion means exclusively in the devotional service of the Lord. Therefore, this combination of these things, along with the fact that they're used in pure devotional service, this indicates you've got the greatest mercy. No one else has mercy like you. So, yes, these different assets, his wealth, his opulence, his generosity, these different things, that's just what they were. See what they were again. Wealth, property, generosity, and personal opulence. These assets had come to him as byproducts of his devotional service. Because of his devotional service, these things had come to him. Without him making any special extra effort to get them. And there was so much, he just couldn't keep them hidden. So much, but still, he was really happy just to use them in the service of the Lord. So that's Narada, as we mentioned, as we will see, as we go from person to person, that there is this always these two phases. Phase one, Narada glorifies them for being the recipients of the greatest mercy of the Lord. He glorifies them and explains why he feels they're the recipients of the greatest mercy. And then second phase, that particular devotee denies it. No. I've got no mercy. Generally, it's like that. Generally, I've got no mercy at all. In fact, I'm in a bad situation. But if you want to know someone who's really got the mercy, then go to some other person. This is how it works. So Narada just glorified him for having special mercy and giving evidence why he thinks he has. Now the Brahman is going to reject that idea. That's the second phase. And then the third, actually, he's going to tell Narada about another devotee. Go and visit this other devotee. So let's see how it all goes on. So this is now verse 43. That most learned Brahman then replied to the best of sages, "O Master, what signs of Krishna's mercy have you seen in me?" Yeah, what makes you think? He really feels like that. What makes you think that I got mercy? What signs? And he carries on. "Who am I but a most wretched person? How much charity am I able to give? What opulence do I have? And how have I ever reciprocated with the Lord in devotional service?" He really feels like that. And there's a short purport here, which makes the point, and it's a good point, it's a very important point. Any true devotee will think himself or herself to be insignificant. "Who am I? How can you say things like that about me? It's ridiculous." That is the feeling of the true devotee. And as we'll see, as we go one by one from one devotee to another, to another, even including people like Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Hanuman, and so on and so forth. You know, these really great devotees. They're all like that. "Me? No. No mercy. Rather, the Lord gives me a hard time." So, yeah. And in many cases, like here, this devotee is living on earth, and he feels, I'm a conditioned soul. How can I be a recipient of the Lord's mercy if I'm living in the material world? This material world is not a place of mercy, it's a place of suffering. Dukkhalayam ashashvatam, a temporary place full of misery. So really, that's how the devotee feels, this Brahmin devotee. So this, it's just one verse, this verse 44, in which the Brahmin devotee very loudly exclaims, "No, no, no." And now, as we'll see, from verse 45, and there's a number of verses, he is going to explain to Narada Muni about another devotee, a king in South India, who, as far as he is concerned, has really got the mercy of the Lord. Just amazing mercy, way beyond whatever his situation is, the Brahmin Vaishnava situation. So, okay, verse 45. This is now the Brahmin Vaishnava speaking. "But in the southern country," means South India, "there lives a great ruler whose kingdom has many temples of God and the demigods. He is the true recipient of Lord Krishna's mercy." And it goes on. "Saintly mendicants come to his kingdom from all directions, along with pilgrims and other visitors. They wander happily, sustained by food that has been offered to Krishna." So, the Brahmin's describing the South Indian king who's a devotee. He's a ruler of, he has other kings under him. The Brahmin Vaishnava has been distributing prasadam that we read about, but not like this South Indian king distributes prasadam. You get all these people coming to his kingdom, and means there's a lot of them, and they all get prasadam. They all get prasadam. So you think I'm generous distributing prasadam. This king from South India, his prasadam distribution is just on another level altogether. So that these people come and the king looks after them. He feeds them all. Near this king's palace, the personality of Godhead resides as if directly in his original form of eternal existence, knowledge, and bliss. He has kindly assumed a non-moving form. So this particular deity, he's already, the devotee Brahman has already said that there are many temples, but now this temple, the special temple near the palace, there's a deity form of the Lord who, he's just like his original form in the spiritual world. But even though he's like that, he has very kindly assumed a non-moving form. He just stands there. But he's just like the Lord from the spiritual world. So, so he's a really amazing deity. People see him and they practically forget this is a deity. They feel that they're in the presence of the Lord from the spiritual world. And why is it like that? Because of this devotee king. Yeah. He's such a devotee that he has this deity. The Lord has appeared like that for him. So he continues, in that kingdom, a joyous, ever-fresh festival is always being celebrated. At each moment, there are new offerings and performances of worship. Yes. So, you know, there are new offerings and new performances of worship, ever fresh festivals. Every day is a joyous, ecstatic, like ever fresh, just brand new festival. And new offerings and new pujas and clothes for the deity. It's just amazing. And how is this? How is it so wonderful? Because of this king. Because of the king. Yeah, all these different festivals being celebrated. The king respectfully feeds all the residents of his country. And the many foreign visitors who come, he feeds all of the local people and all the visitors with the remnants from Lord Vishnu's worship. Yes. It's amazing. And he's got many temples all around his country. And they're all distributing prasad. You know, he's got temples everywhere, and so he's distributing prasad everywhere. But this main temple by the palace, that is just, it's especially famous for its worship and prasad. So, but he continues to glorify this king. Saintly devotees of Lord Vishnu come from various countries to reside permanently in the kingdom. They come out of eagerness to see the lotus-eyed deity of the Lord, to relish the food and other special remnants from the Lord, and to obtain the association of spiritually advanced persons. So all these saintly people, just the whole country is, even the just ordinary citizens, they're great devotees. And he continues further, verse 52. Listen to this. This is amazing. The king has given his kingdom away to the demigods and Brahmins, dividing it among them. His kingdom is completely free from sorrow, social disruption, and fear. So, yeah, he is actually legally transferred the whole all the different parts of the country. He has legally transferred them to the deities and to the Brahmins, the Vaishnavas who are worshipping the deities. So he doesn't even own the country any longer. And he considers himself simply the caretaker. He's looking after it under the authority of the legal owners. In that kingdom, this is verse 53, in that kingdom, the earth yields crops without being tilled. Rain falls just enough for people's comfort. And whatever fruits, vegetables, and clothing one desires are easily to be had. Yes. So, it's just a perfect situation because of the king being such a pure devotee, such a wonderful devotee. So, you know, in the purport here, I don't know how many of you are here watching and listening from, how many of you are from Christian backgrounds, but in right in the beginning of the Old Testament of the Bible, Adam and Eve were living in the Garden of Eden, which was like paradise. And the same conditions were there. They didn't have to till the ground in order to get very nice crops growing. And rain would just fall like at night, not during the day. And any fruits and veggies and other necessities of life were just available just like that. No special endeavor. So, but anyway, then after the original sin, then the crops wouldn't grow and Adam had to till the fields to grow the crops. Anyway, verse 54. The citizens all happily follow the king as if they were his children. They perform their own social duties and are devoted to Lord Krishna, all of them. Yes. So just like children who love and respect their parents, that the citizens not only obeyed the king's directions, but they also followed his example in their activity, in their own ways, depending on their particular situations in life, they applied the same principles that the king applied. Verse 55. The king is always prideless. Worshipping Lord a tutor with services a menial assistant would perform. He pleases all the people and is dear to the Lord. So there's a purport here, short purport, that generally someone, if someone is the king or queen of such a vast country, which is so opulent and just such an amazing place, normally the king, the ruler, will become proud, but not this king in South India. He's a pure Vaishnav, and therefore he is happy, for example, to clean the floors in the temple room. He's happy to clean the temple room, to see that the lamps in the temples, they have enough oil and they're burning nicely for the satisfaction of the deity, and so on. And he does this not to put on a show of being a devotee so people will say, oh, look, he must be a great devotee. But it's purely out of devotional enthusiasm. So this is all being said by the Brahmin Vaishnav. And just see, you know, one way you can get an idea, at least, if a devotee is advanced, is if they glorify the other devotees. They won't accept glorification of themselves, but they just love to glorify the other devotees. And this king is like this. He always tries to satisfy the Lord. He himself performs Sankirtan before the Lord's deity, chanting the Lord's names composed in various attractive arrangements, different tunes and different instruments. He dances, sings wonderful songs, and plays instruments. His sons, wives, brothers, grandsons, priests, servants, ministers, and other subordinates, he has them also take part. And the point is made in this little purport here that he didn't have to force them. He didn't have to force them. Because through his association, they were all first-class Vaishnavas. And they just love doing these things. Verse 58. Okay, this verse 58, it's the last verse in this section, just coming up now. The last verse in which the Brahmin devotee from Prayag glorifies the king, and then Narada is going to go and meet the king. But here's the last verse now from the Brahmin devotee from Prayag. These good qualities arise from his devotion for Krishna. How many of them can I count, describe, or even be aware of? You know, after hearing such a glorification, you would think that how could you glorify anyone else more? How would it be possible? This is like, you know, just unlimited glorification. How could he glorify anyone else more than this king has been glorified. But believe me, it's going to happen. So there's a purport here, and in it it explains that the logic behind all these things, the glorifications that the Brahmin Vaishnav has spoken, the logic is that the king's good qualities, which I've mentioned, are all signs of him being the true recipient of Lord Krishna's mercy. I don't have such mercy because I don't have such good qualities. So like I've already said, the point is made here further, that as we go from devotee to devotee, they're all going to argue with Narada, because Narada will say, you're the greatest for this and reason and that and the other and so many. And they're all going to argue in similar ways. But anyway, yeah, they're all going to argue in similar ways. That for this reason and that, this other devotee is much greater than me. I'm not like him or her. I'm just not like them. Yeah. So, well, even an interesting point is made here in the purport. It's a nice point. Is that this is the Brahmin Vaishnav glorifying a Kshatriya. According to Varnashram, of course. And, you know, if you go back in history in India, you find that people going back, some way at least, they're really into that, you know, I'm a Brahmin, you're just a Kshatriya. That sort of mentality. But not this Brahmin Vaishnav from Prayag, who's making these glorifications. He doesn't care. This person's a Kshatriya. I don't care. He's a devotee. He's a devotee. So this shows that the Brahmin Vaishnav from Prayag, he is really an elevated devotee. He's a very, very nice devotee. And he's got no prejudice that I'm a Brahmin, this man's only a Kshatriya. So, okay, now let's just do a little check. From this verse now, 59, till the end of the chapter, actually, there's 75 verses in this chapter. So this is now Narada Muni meeting the king and the exchanges between them. But first of all, from 59 to 75 to 65, 59 to 65, Narada Muni arrives and speaks to the king. Let's just go through that, and then tomorrow we'll carry on with the king. Because, of course, here, Narada Muni is going to arrive and glorify the king. And the king's going to say, no, 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 no. I'm not the recipient of the Lord's mercy at all. So that we'll read through. And then tomorrow, he's going to suggest, you want to meet the people who've really got the mercy? It's the demigods. Go and meet the demigods. But that will go on to tomorrow. But just for now, let's read verses 59 to 65. Narada Muni meets the king, glorifies the king, and the king tells him, no, no, no. So, 59, Sri Parikshit said, Narada then went to the country of that best of kings to see him. Wherever Narada went, he found the people absorbed in festive worship of the Lord. Amazing, yeah? Narada arrived at the capital, vibrating his veena with delight, seeing even greater splendor than the Brahman had described. He approached the king and spoke. You know, the Brahman in Vaishnav in Prayag had glorified so much, as we just read. But Narada came, when he came and he saw what's going on there, it was even better than what the Brahman Vaishnav had said. Sure. So he approached the king and spoke. Sri Narada said, you are the real recipient of Sri Krishna's mercy. After all, your kingdom is so opulent. It has the best citizens, endowed with the most excellent character, religiousness, prosperity, knowledge, and devotion to God. So there's a nice purport here. A sure sign of a ruler's virtue is the good qualities of his subjects. Oh yes. If the king or the ruler is really virtuous, then those who are under him, the subjects, they'll also have many good qualities. You know, we don't need to talk about it, right? In America, in England, just all over the world, the people in general, the vast majority, it's just so unfortunate. They're not doing well at all. And it's connected with the character of the rulers. It's connected with their standards, their levels of Krishna consciousness ultimately. And in the sixth canto of the Bhagavatam, it's either a verse or just Prabhupada talks about it. I think it's a verse, is that the king or the ruler, might be president, prime minister, whoever is the head, they have to take, and they do take, 1/6 of the reactions of the citizens who are under them. So just think. In America, in England, in France, in India, just wherever it is, that the rulers are going to get 1/6 of the reactions of the citizens. The citizens are doing so much sinful activity, it's just a disaster. But the ruler is going to get 1/6 of all of that. Hare Krishna. It's crazy, actually. So, yes, they were very civilized people. They were doing their prescribed duties very nicely. They were fully Krishna conscious. They were very charitable, feeding the pilgrims and hungry people. Whatever extra money they had was given for the service in the temples. All the people studied the Vedic scriptures. And all of them, every one of them, in his or her heart, was the aspiration, I want to become a pure devotee of the Lord. I must do it. This is the goal of my life. So Narada is glorifying like this. Sri Parikshit said, Narada, the best of Vaishnavas, singing along with his veena, thus expansively described the king praising his greatness. And Narada embraced him again and again. 63. The king, that ruler of a vast region, then worshipped the topmost sage and humbly replied, his head bowed down in embarrassment by the weight of hearing his own praise. The king said, okay, this is the last verse we're going to read. The king said, O sage among the demigods, he knows who Narada Muni is, I am a human being with a short life, with a short lifespan, little opulence, and little to give others. I have no independence. I'm constantly attacked by fear and ruled by the threefold miseries of material life. I would not even deserve Krishna's word, like promise, that in the future he might show me his mercy. I don't even deserve that Krishna might say, okay, listen, in the future I'll give you some of my mercy. That's what he's saying. Why do you wrongly consider me an object of his compassion? So, a little purport, nice purport. The king was thinking that Narada, you've made a mistake. You know, you're saying I am a favored devotee, but no, you're mistaken. You're not using your intelligence. Because before someone becomes a pure devotee, they have to get free of illusion. But I'm still under the control of Maya. That's what the king's saying. That's what I'm saying. I am still Maya's slave, subject to the tyranny of material duties and just material life. What to speak of having realized his relationship with the Lord, which is Narada's basically said has happened. He's saying that I'm so far from the Lord that the Lord would not feel that he, the king, deserves to be promised that in the future he'll get some mercy. In other words, he feels he's a lost soul. Yeah. So in other words, he didn't deserve to have anyone say, this person is favored by Krishna. All right, so we'll finish off here and we'll carry on tomorrow. Starting from verse 66, the king is going to direct Narada. You want to see some people who've got the Lord's mercy? Go to the demigods. You'll see they are people who've got the mercy of the Lord. We'll carry on there from there tomorrow. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.